You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, what the information has shown is that, first of all, there's no data at all prior to 2016, but over the last 18 months, the period in which data has been recorded, there have been 50 examples of fishing boats refusing to have observers on their fishing boats. And we've seen the reasons, and for the most part, they seem pretty weak.
So how has 20% of skippers managed to avoid the use of these observers?
Well, the 20% would be in the set net part of the fishing industry. And what they, you know, they'll say several different things. So a typical excuse might be, well, we don't have room for an observer on the boat, or they might at the last moment change the fishing method that they're going to use or the fishing place, which actually cancels out the observer coverage that was scheduled. There's one example of a skipper who said, I was under the impression that if I had a camera on my boat, I didn't need to have an observer as well. It's wrong, of course. Sometimes they just said, we refuse. There are a couple of cases which I think are particularly worrying, where skippers have said, or where observers have withdrawn from being on a boat because of health and safety concerns. To my mind, you know, that rings alarm bells, because it could well mean that the observer is being subject to standover tactics from the captain or the crew.
So how long do they have, how much notice do they have an observer is coming? Because I would take an understanding that if you've got notice, you shouldn't really have excuses if you know that they are coming on that day.
Yeah, it's not a last minute thing or anything of that sort. You know, I'm not sure how many days notice they get, but absolutely the principle should be that whenever an observer is mandated by MPI, that they will go on that boat. But what we're saying is, actually, what this underlines is that, you know, an industry that, you know, recent reports and indeed reports over the last few years that have been released show kind of widespread non-observance of the law and widespread bycatch of protected species going on out at sea. And it's almost like the fishing boat sails out over the horizon and suddenly anything goes. And at the moment, our only protection for that is those, you know, that small proportion of boats that have observers on board. It's actually about 2% of boats end up with observers on board. And what we're saying is, first of all, if you've got an observer allocated to your boat, you have to take that observer. But secondly, this really underlines the need for universal coverage with cameras and more coverage with observers. You know, the Ministry for Primary Industries has a target amount of what they call coverage, so the number of hours of fishing that there's an observer on board boats. Over the last 5 years, they've been at under 50% of their target. And one of the reasons is that the industry just doesn't want them.
Are there any punishments for those observers that, while they refuse an observer on the boat?
The Ministry for Primary Industries can issue what it calls a placement notice. What that means is that the boat is not allowed to sail until such time as that there is an observer on board. And they've done that, I think, 10 times over the last 18 months. And in very rare cases, and what MPI said this morning is that's about one per year over the last 10 years, they actually prosecute. But I guess at that rate of prosecutions, it doesn't sound like a very effective disincentive to me for the rogue operators within the industry to actually toe the line.
Okay, so MPI admits that there are issues regarding onshore boats. How can they sort of handle this issue better?
I mean, clearly MPI could be using its enforcement powers to a greater degree. But even if we had the full 100% of its target being met, at this rate of refusals by skippers and people just changing their plan at the last moment to apparently evade observer coverage, it's still going to be a case of playing whack-a-mole. You know, we actually need complete transparency. You know, the industry is running TV ads at the moment saying, we don't get everything right, but we've really cleaned up our act, we really care about the environment. Well, forgive me for being cynical about that, but actually the industry's track record is one of very long-standing and very widespread abuse of the environment and getting away with breaking the law whenever it can. So it would be great to believe that the industry really has changed its spots. In order to ensure that we know that that is the case, we need something that provides total transparency. And I think that means cameras on every boat and a lot more observer coverage and no excuses for not having an observer.
So I guess one of the few issues that I can see having some validity to it is sort of manning issues. So there probably are cases where there's sort of boats that can only have a certain volume of people. How do you sort of deal with those manning problems?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, so we're not saying that every one of these 50 cases, has been unreasonable that an observer couldn't go aboard. But what that indicates to me is that for those boats, there need to be cameras on board that are monitoring what's going on remotely, because there's nothing about a fishing boat, regardless of its size, that would prevent cameras being on board. How about the industry actually taking a lead on that, saying we have got boats in the fleet that don't have enough capacity, for observers to be on board. So we're going to sort of take the lead in getting cameras on board those boats so that you can see that we've cleaned up our act. How about that?
Awesome. Okay, so that's all the questions I have for you. Is there any further remarks you'd like to make?
No, I guess maybe the one thing, I certainly hope that that the industry is cleaning up its act, but with its track record, it really the onus is on the industry to actually prove that that's the case, and that means total transparency. That's the only way that the New Zealand public and the consumers of these seafood products, most of whom are overseas, 85% of the fish caught in New Zealand waters is exported. Those consumers are partly buying New Zealand fish because of their belief in our clean, green environmental brand as a country. Well, the onus is on the industry to prove that's correct.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.